The philosophy of that law in nature, which implants in man as well as in every beast a passionate, inherent, and instinctive desire for freedom and self-guidance, pertains to psychology, and that's from the Secret Doctrine. The great evolutionary law must finally prevail because it is the law of the deity, an expression of the nature and being of the unknown, which nature is towards manifestation, self-realization, and reabsorption. And that's from letters that have helped me. So the last part of that, which says, which nature is towards manifestation, self-realization, and reabsorption, basically, we can look at that idea as being what evolution is. Last week, the class presented an overview of evolution. And today, as we said, we'll be looking at evolution as one of the three fundamental propositions. And the three fundamental propositions of the philosophy are the basis for an understanding of it. One needs to understand them as they are the foundation to comprehend the teachings. They can also be used to help understand our own daily lives. They can help to explain the question which drew many people to theosophy, is why am I here? What is the origin of man? The interaction of all the kingdoms is explained, and the immortality of man, which many people don't believe in. But once they understand the fundamental propositions and the philosophy, many folks then do understand the immortality of man. Why am I here? And how is it that we are responsible for the progress of the lower kingdoms? So the idea of the three fundamental propositions, which are deity, law, and evolution. Deity is that which cannot be explained, cannot be labeled, cannot be limited. It is omnipresent, it is immutable. And it is that which we are a spark of that deific essence. And this is what binds us together into this idea of universal brotherhood. And universal brotherhood doesn't just focus on the human being, it focuses on all the kingdoms of nature. And it is deity, law, and evolution aren't, especially law and evolution, are an expression of deity. We talk about the three fundamental propositions, but we talk about them, but they're as three, but it's all one. And that one is expressions of deity. So materialization proceeds from deity. And at that point, we are looking at this idea of law and evolution, law being cycles. Cycles affect everything, and we are studying cycles now in the Ocean of Theosophy, in our Wednesday class. Cycles affect everything, the universe, the earth, and all the kingdoms of great nature. But evolution then is the goal of the progress of the soul. And evolution has to do with these cycles of karma and reincarnation, because that is how we progress. That is the way we reincarnate, bringing along with us the lessons that we've learned or not learned in previous lives. And evolution is not just for the human, but all of great nature evolves. And it is the assistance when we speak of nature unaided fails. It is the human that is failing nature, because it is on us to help bring up all of nature. And the purpose of evolution is for the perfection of the soul, for a higher life, because all is soul. And again, this connection with universal brotherhood, because everything is soul, and consciousness depends upon which group of the kingdom is. Go from the stone, which is conscious, but at a very lower degree. And we go up to the plant and the animal and then the human. And humans are self-conscious, and we have to make those choices. And we don't want to step on the second speaker's talk, but it is the choices that we make that will determine our evolutionary path. So evolution can be considered as an unbroken periodical expression of manifestations, because even after death, the soul progresses through the after-death states, absorbs lessons learned in previous lives, and is reincarnated in what is considered to be a new and a just life, because justice rules. And the life that we each get at the beginning after the after-death states is what we deserve. It is what that justice is. So the status of the reincarnating soul in the new form is dependent upon its karma and choices, self-induced and self-devised. We won't go into detail because that will probably be in the next talk. Evolution can be seen as the mechanism, the vehicle for life to proceed, the goal being to eradicate all selfishness from the lower nature before the divine state can be reached. And just to end, we just want to read a quote here. Nature progresses towards its goal of a higher life. The fact that adaptations do occur, they can weed out the weak to ensure the survival of the strongest, indicates the mind of the universe, an aggregate of forces. Every soul identifies with the universal oversoul and must pass through the cycle of incarnation in compliance with cyclic and karmic law. It must progress from the lowest form to the highest manas. No special attention is given to humans, and this is known as the pivotal doctrine in the philosophy, except that which is gained by their own egos. In order to be fully divine, the philosophy teaches that the primitive soul must pass through the human stage. So that is the progression of evolution. And it goes from the mineral, the plant, the animal, and the human. All souls must go through all of these in order to reach the human stage. Others and lower classes of egos below him, destined to be raised up to be humans, with present human beings raised up higher still. So we will now have our second speaker.
Sure, right. So, all right. So this morning we'll take a little time to give attention to this topic of free will. Perhaps no other philosophical problems cause the confusion. Maybe there are a few exceptions to it, but there's so much sincere discussion about free will among folks and misunderstanding that it's probably worth the time to take a look at it in the light of theosophical principles. This could, so under theosophical principles, this should unveil some insights to free will so that we can discover a healthy, wholesome basis for thinking, which will help us to manage our personal proclivities and keep the karmic scale in balance. So, free will. Does man have the power to choose? We can start off with this because this concept or this word of free will is a misnomer. Is will free? Is what? It's really not the issue when people talk about free will. The issue is whether or not the individual is free to choose the course, to choose which course he's going to take. Will, per se, just will itself, follows from the inner, the highest principles within us, from the higher mind, from higher than that is Buddha, and probably even higher than that, just rooted in it's entirely abstract and beyond our consciousness, the source of it, our typical consciousness. But it's suspended from within us, and it is suspended from within great nature. We are floating in this power of will. At any rate, the true source of will is sacred. It's probably secret. And how we use our will, however, might not be quite as sacred as secret, depending on how we're living our lives. We've read that will follows from the highest within each and all of us, along this process through patterns or grooves or skandhas, whatever you want to call it, ruts of thought, of action, and habit, which we have engendered. These pathways are built within our nature according to the basis upon which we think and feel during this life and in past lives. Desire is the predominant principle which governs this, if we allow it to be. And for most of us, in humanity at this stage of evolution, this is an issue. If the true source of will, then, is spiritual power within us, within each individual, and within humanity as a unity, then will is free. It is all powerful. But will is limited to a greater or lesser extent by the personality which calls upon it to use it. Here we bear in mind that every single atom, every human being, every solar system subsists within this power of will, and will abides within us. Yet, this power can be used or manifested only within the limits of law. These limits are fashioned by, as was said during the previous talk, these limits are fashioned by divine law, which brings about the evolution through universal impulse for the lower kingdoms. And these limits are brought about within the human being, fashioned by each human being according to his understanding or misunderstanding of the law. So this, of course, is where karma comes in. We hear terms such as physical body, astral body, passions and desires, even the life force. These principles, which comprise the temple in which we dwell here on earth, these principles are the means by which we manifest will. When the lower nature operates ignorantly, selfishly, the sacred powers and faculties operating through the lower nature are coarse, of lesser value, and of relatively little potency. The lower principles used, however, if they are used selflessly, if they are used mindfully and with discrimination, then a greater force of spirit in action is met on this earth plane with wisdom. In other words, when motive is energy is energized by selfishness and personal desires, spiritual will manifests as a lower form of energy. We have found the term in the philosophy, brute energy is used. When the lower form is energized by pure motive toward altruism in the true service of humanity, force of the higher self acts unimpeded and unbounded. It's more powerful when we live in service to others. So let's bear in mind that the inner man, all of us, is enshrouded or involved in matter. Said differently, divine consciousness operating through form can become obscured by what? By layers of skandhas or old habits of thinking, obscured by false ideas. There's a saying in the philosophy, the self shines in all, but in all, it does not necessarily shine through. As one moves forward, though, mindfully, wisely, as we move forward more mindfully and wisely, the pathway becomes more purified. And the forces operating through it, when we work with nature, nature works with us. It's a paraphrase from The Voice of the Silence. So who are we? Well, we all are identical in essence. This is the third proposition also. We each are a ray of the Oversoul in essence. When encased in matter, we tend to identify with the particular form. And when this happens, there's often an acceptance of this false idea of separateness. The theosophical teaching on this is that within the unity of humanity, which is one, each human form, the ray of the Oversoul within it, each form is comprised of the same principles. We are simply differentiations within the unity. Each form, we are not separate from each other because we share in the same source, the same goal, and the same purpose for life, which is the third fundamental proposition. differentiations evolved over time in order to fulfill divine law. As simple as that. That's why there are lower kingdoms. Particular structures and functions all have a common source, all have a common goal and a common purpose. As an analogy, let's picture an orchestra. Each skilled musician has their own self-crafted, perfected instrument. Each musician plays their part, the violins, the trumpets, the piano, and there is a harmony, there is a melody, all sharing in common rhythm according to a common key, which is their appointed number. And this perfected number has its perfect place in the divine plan. In this musical number, all of the instruments in this work are infinitely interconnected through the collective mind bringing forth the music according to divine law of harmony and rhythm. They fulfill the purpose for which the number was written. So there are differentiations of instruments, but one common purpose. Now, the ignorance of our unity gives rise to a distorted worldview. It gives rise to a distorted understanding of our place in the world. As we move toward a truer realization of the self, studying the self, coming to understand the principles of the philosophy more, allowing it to become a power in our life, this is the beginning of freedom. The more we encase and immerse ourselves in matter and identify with the form, the less the exercise of will and the power to choose we will have. The less material and selfish we become as we grow in understanding, grow out of our own old habits, grow through our skandhas, get past the ruts in our own mind, all the sooner we stand unbounded by past karma and more free to choose. There's no one else who can impose restrictions on us, no one else who can impose limitations on us other than those restrictions and limitations that we have placed upon ourselves because of the way we think and act in this life and in past lives. Deny the spiritual nature, deny the infinite interconnection of cause and effect, which all return during long cycles of evolution. Doing so, we then only perceive what's going on the outside, all the phenomenal physical stuff, and we will never come to understand why these effects are coming about. To study theosophy is to learn how and why this seemingly inescapable fate to the materialist, inescapable heredity, inescapable environment into which we are born, which makes us a slave as a materialist. The study of theosophy and these ideas brings us out of these limitations, helps us to accept responsibility for ourselves, and by thinking differently, by accepting what we're not and recognizing who we truly are and acting from that basis, there's a lot of karma that can be cleaned up very quickly. It's just a matter of a decision to act and think and to be willing to learn and apply the teachings. So with these ideas regarding free will and karma, perhaps we can have this discussion and tease out some of the important issues to us that helps us understand how free will, guided by laws of karma, interact with this evolutionary process. MDW.
Well, it says that the evolutionary process is the coming into manifestation of spirit matter, and then it reascends back into spirit again. So as far as the evolutionary process, you know, man is perfectible then. Man can be more than what we see, that we are in this evolutionary process. And I think what you're saying is that there's like a flowing of energy upward now. And that if we make that effort now, we are benefited threefold.
Thank you. Right. So this concept of evolution really starts in spirit. It starts in the ethereal side of reality and goes through a materializing process first, down to where we are now, which is the lowest plane. This physicalness that we are experiencing is the lowest to which evolution brings us. And actually, we have hit the lowest, we being humanity, all of life on Earth, and are back in this cycle. We're back, just headed back up the scale of spiritualization. Or of this, yes, of the spiritualization of all of life. But if you want, you can't coast uphill. Everything is going to rise. That doesn't mean that we automatically, without effort, without understanding law, that doesn't mean that our consciousness grows and expands unless our efforts and our awareness, the reason for living, is to help everyone to participate in the evolution of all. The rising of all of consciousness. This is the process that we go through, so that eventually all of life on Earth will, through the cycles, through future cycles, become human and beyond, and there will be that which comes behind us. MDW, please.
So that's what, when we hear in the fundamentals, like the third fundamental, that it's, we are first, through a natural impulse, we achieve some sort of consciousness. But once we become self-conscious, it's through self-induced and self-devised means. So I think that's what you're expressing then.
Thank you. Yes. At the human stage, this universal impulse is one that we have to use with purpose. And if we don't, well, we have the free will to retard ourselves. And with each step that we retard ourselves, so too do we affect in small ways all of life around us. And the opposite is true as well. SL.
Continue.
Excuse us. Hold on. Okay. We have something we wanted to say. Yeah, there's two of us. Yes, so the whole idea with evolution is for the progress of the soul. And in regards to karma, then, we are looking at these choices that we are making determine that progress of the soul, hence evolution. So it is important for us that we are aware of how important our choices are, and many of the choices we make will also affect the lower kingdoms, and that it is our duty to help raise them up as well. SL?
Continuing then with the third fundamental, yes, of course, at the human stage, our evolution depends on self-induced and self-devised effort, an expression of our free will. But then it goes on to say, checked by karma. So our evolution, even with our free will and the operation of free will, is checked by our individual karma, the karma of the nation and race and civilization we belong to. And it is said, even we cannot pass beyond the evolution of humanity on this earth. So there is that interaction referred to between our free will and karma. Both are necessary.
And it is said in the fundamentals in regards to evolution that it is the interaction between humans, each human, how we interact with others, that that is one of the ways that we learn lessons, is by interacting with other people, which we need to function at this level right now by these interactions, so that we can learn lessons, because our goal is to go back to the source, and we're not going to do that unless we learn the lessons and that we can determine the choices we're going to make by the interactions with others. And we have does my cohort want to say something? We have a comment here. No? Okay. Theosophy Hall, then.
So, you know, there's so much involved here in evolution. There's Fohat, which is that animating principle between matter and spirit. It animates everything in the life. It's also this dynamic energy of cosmic ideation. And there's also something called Kamadeva, which in the Theosophical Glossary is described as Kama, desire first arose in it, the primal germ of mind. So Kama, in its pure form, is a desire for universal good and love for all that lives and feels and needs help and kindness. It is the one force that issues from the ray of the absolute. So we often talk about desire principle, meaning we're kind of trapped with our lower desires now. We're trying to extricate ourselves from them. But in essence, it's Kamadeva. It's that pure love, the desire to benefit all of evolution, not just the human form, but the life forms below us, which we are using and we depend upon. And they depend upon us because we need to get our act together and purify ourselves so that they can move, these other forms can move up into the human tabernacle.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, there, everything is dual, and Kama is no exception. So it was good to be reminded that Kama does have a positive side to it. It's that it's just not the lower desires. Now we can only see six people here. So if there's anybody that doesn't have a, that has a hand up that we haven't seen.
Can we go on gallery?
Yes.
MDW.
Yes, it's also so though. So if we want to use our will, you know, to the, our best advantage, and really to activate the will, don't we have to step back and say, well, what's going to motivate will? And it says behind will stands desire. So isn't it what we desire that we need to purify our desires?
Sorry, so the question itself, let's take a look at those words. If we wanted to activate will, that might be a dangerous take. Are we gonna, you know, it's kind of metaphysical there. How about if we just want to do what's right because it's the right thing to do? If we want to live a life of virtue and act without regard to what is in it for me, the message from theosophy is that this is what activates it. If there's some kind of a mental decision in the morning that I'm going to activate my will and the right to, that we're coming out of it, we've got to be in it. We've got to be like in our desire to be of service. It almost seems like we would have to be careful to kind of consciously use our will.
Isn't that what we do? Don't we
constantly? We definitely do, but it's almost like, do we want to, all right, to use electricity to turn on the lamp, you don't play with the circuit breaker, and you don't do this for that with the wires. You don't make a decision about what wattage do I need for this. You turn the lamp on and you use it for the right purposes. All the other stuff is on its way. It's kind of like, if I want to get healthy, and people do this, if I want to get healthy, do I need a master's degree in nutrition so I know how all of the food assimilates and metabolizes in my liver? Really, you don't. You just have to eat the right food. That's what, you know, in theosophy, we're talking about principles of life. Now, the science behind all that, by all means, it's a personal decision. It's a personal study. If that's something that's very interesting, there's loads in the literature to learn about this, but our purpose here is to bring about greater insight, not just that we should be ethical good people, but why, and what's the result? What's the relation? What's the karmic effect? JCS, please.
Well, what comes to mind is that there is very, very little offered in the philosophy about the true nature of will and the true applications of will, because this whole arena, as was just explained, is full of danger. As long as individualized soul and the collective humanity is so enmeshed in the misuse of desire and passions, we're advised not to pursue psychic powers, not to pursue the full application of will, because if we're off on the wrong premise and we have a hidden motive and we're deluded about our hidden motive, we could create great danger for the goal.
Thank you.
The whole thing that was just mentioned in regards to motive is, we think, one of the main determinators of how our progress, how evolution, how karma will proceed, because we have to purify, as we've said, we have to purify our motive. And it has to be, we can't use the phrase, well, I will act in such a good way that other people will think I'm wonderful. No, that's not how it's done. We have, when we say purify our motive, we are looking at making it so that we are doing it because it has to be done, and we're not looking for anything in return.
You know, this brings to mind the statement in the philosophy, and we find ourselves reflecting on this so often. You know, the declaration sets out the purpose for ULT meetings in particular, for ULT meetings. And the work of the ULT meeting and a ULT student is to be a student of the philosophy, disseminate the fundamental principles of the philosophy at our meetings, to exemplify them in practice. So to be, you know, the theosophist is, HPB, theosophist is who theosophy does. And so this is a very interesting subject, this will. Let's remember, there is a lot in the philosophy to learn about. And think of the three objects. One of the objects is the study of the hidden forces of nature and the inner powers in man, all of which correspond to each other. And will has something to do with this. Now, it was said by a previous contribution, it's dangerous. Yes, it is dangerous if we start to play with it. But the philosophy is here for a reason, and will is one of the hidden powers of man. So it's not, you know, let's face it, it's in the title for this talk, so we're going to touch on it. But there's a difference between investigating it and how it plays out in life, rather than willfully, so to speak, deliberately manipulating it. Better to stick to fundamental principles, ethics, learn about the hidden powers within man, which are latent, but we don't dabble in it. We don't play with it.
We have a comment here in Theosophy Hall.
Well, so self-awareness, it has a material vehicle and an astral vehicle and the power of spirit. So the will is spirit in action, and all of our vehicles must be brought under the control of our true will. So the desire to know and understand the goal of evolution has to be the foremost driving force.
Thank you for that comment.
You know, a study of this topic brings about the insight. You know, there's the statement, man has the power which enables him to override circumstances. And with self-knowledge arises the dynamic power of self-control and self-expression. Self-control is the use of will. So it's the will is used in everything that we do. It's very helpful to realize that. And, you know, but it will be used just as destructively as it will be constructively, depending on what within our nature is acting. Is it our personal desires, or is it our aspirations to serve others? Now, was there, SL, was there a hand? Or MVW?
Well, just, you know, that faith, I must be an aspect of will then as well, because we all have faith in something, or we do, but as we expands that understanding, and it takes on a broader meaning, you know, well, what do you have faith in? Because we all have seeming faith in something. Question.
Sure. Well, what we place our faith in has everything to do with how we're going to live our lives and how we think. And the older students used to talk a lot about placing your faith in the law, which makes so much sense. You know, in this environment, especially with Orthodox religiosity, people in society grow up with place your faith in the savior, the God, the whatever, whatever's outside of you that's going to save you. But it makes so much more sense to live according to the law, make our decisions, our choices, as we best understand the law, be aware of what the effects that come to us, always be conscious of, you know, what did I do? What was the effect? Live a contemplative life and have faith in the law. Putting our faith in the law helps us more just to stay focused and to understand the power and the reality that law has overall. It's not a personal being out there with puppet strings. It's the divine law, please.
And the whole idea of faith then is, according to the philosophy, is that we need, that faith has to be placed with in wherever we're going to put it, but it has to be something that we have knowledge of, not something that is an outside God that we don't really know what that is. But the law, we know what that is. We know how it works, and it's, you know, it's a better way to have faith if one has knowledge of what they're putting their faith in. And we have a chat, unless anything else?
No, we'll read the chat. Were we in animal bodies a long time ago? Did we evolve from the animal kingdom to the human kingdom by will, desire, or what? No human being was an animal. When the form, which would become the human form when we incarnate into it, eventually became ready through the process of evolution, everything that comprises the human form went through the process of evolution through all of the kingdoms, so that the human form that we use is the summit, the peak, the crown of all of evolution of life on Earth. But each one of us, we did not used to be a bush. We did not used to be a rock. It's a really metaphysical concept. Once planet Earth was ready to be incarnated into all of these life forms, that's when mind beings came on the scene. So we would start it off with that, and we would like to open the floor for Theosophy Hall or JCS, please.
These are huge concepts.
Right.
Is it that the self-consciousness and the ethereal forms of spirit and mind, what would be blooming as a self-conscious entity, always was, and merely was not yet engrossed or embedded or encased in matter? And it is said that the self-conscious applications of the power, the principle of mind, encapsulated in the physical form of the human we're currently using 18 million years ago, but that divine essence, the ray that we are, always existed absent from physicality and all these lower forms, right? Or no?
Thank you. So we're finding, you know, from time to time when this comes up, and it's very important that it does come up, we find that there is a scarcity of words.
Yes.
And every effort is made by this student to not allow the notion that we used to be rats, then we evolved into dolphins, and then we evolved into human beings. This is not the case. So we share these ideas, we try to get to it, and we invite every student in the meeting, when these questions arise, hit the books. That's what the library's for. Meditate on it, think about it. Things come to be a little more clear when we process this over time. It's our intuition that gives us a little more insight, but that doesn't mean that we have better words for it. So the encouragement is there. Ask the questions and expect the answers to come. It takes effort. There's a lot of gold nuggets to be mined out of this mountain, and you got to get dirty doing it yourself.
Yeah, and it is a difficult concept, as the previous two speakers said, but it's like humans are self-conscious. We've always been self-conscious, and we will continue to be. And that's just, as was said, it's like, you know, look in the books as well. It's a very difficult idea to put into words. SL, did you have your hand up?
Just a simple idea. There's a difference between the order of evolution and where the human form evolves from. Yes, the human form may have been the last in the order of evolution of the kingdoms, but it evolves from its own inner spiritual ethereal type. The form comes from within, yet the substance that forms uses may come from the lower kingdoms, the evolution of the lower kingdoms. Just an idea. We know it's the end of the meeting, but an idea to think about.
Yet, so it is time for the meeting to end. And we want to just thank everybody for coming and participating, and hope to see you all on Wednesday.